With the vulnerability of Jerusalem suddenly terrifyingly manifest, the Jews asked the Almighty to acquire Jerusalem for himself, so that every empire's acquisition of the city, no matter how real it would have seemed, would not have a full and lasting effect. This is why, no matter how many times Jerusalem would be surrendered, it would never lose its hold on Jewish hearts. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, Episode 1, The Unconquerable, Constantly Conquered City. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Early in the morning of December 9th, 1917, the Ottoman Empire informed the mayor of Jerusalem, Hussein al-Husseini, that it was retreating in advance of the oncoming British troops and that it would fall to the mayor to surrender the city. This would seem a simple task, but what unfolded in the next several hours, and the images of those moments that remain, tell us a great deal about the millennia-long history of Jerusalem and what the purpose of this podcast is all about. The first members of His Majesty's military that the Ottoman mayor encountered were reportedly one or two British cooks, privates, who had been sent by their colonel on an incredibly important mission, finding eggs for the officers' omelets. The earliest version of this tale can be found in the memoir of one of these British officers, Vivian Gilbert, who wrote about his World War I experiences in a volume titled The Romance of the Last Crusade. Gilbert describes a cook named Private Murch who, seeking victuals, suddenly encountered the elaborately attired mayor of Jerusalem, who announced to him, "I want to surrender the city, please. Here are the keys." Private Murch reportedly replied, "I don't want your city. I want some eggs for my officers." Gilbert adds, quote, "I happened to be at battalion headquarters when Private Murch, hot and out of breath, arrived. 'Where have you been for the last 4 hours?' demanded the colonel in a freezing tone. The perspiring private proceeded to relate his amazing adventures in a rich Cockney dialect. In spite of his rambling and at times incoherent recitation, it dawned on us at last that one of the great events in the history of the world, for which thousands had given their lives, had occurred. When the man came to the end of his story, the colonel turned to us and said quietly, 'Gentlemen, Jerusalem has fallen.' Then he seized a field telephone, rang up the brigadier, and acquainted him with the startling news." End quote. Meanwhile, the mayor then ran into two British sergeants, James Sedgwick and Fred Hercombe. We know this occurred because while the sergeants did not accept the surrender themselves, they did agree to be photographed with the mayor and with his band of men. A photograph that survives to this day. A photograph that we have provided for you. The mayor then met two British majors, F.R. Barry and W. Beck, who accepted the surrender. Accept. Then a brigadier general by the name of Watson arrived on his horse and insisted that the city be re-surrendered and then surrendered to him. And the mayor was then photographed with Watson as well. All this was much to the annoyance of Brigadier General Watson's superior officer, Major General John Shea, whose vehicle had been stuck some distance down the road and who had desperately wanted to be the man to whom the sacred city was given up. Thus Gilbert writes, quote, "Brigadier General Watson decided the only thing to do was to ride back to the city and hand the keys back to the mayor, who was informed that Major General Shea was now on his way to see him." End quote. We thus have another image of Shea and his officers marking the surrender of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had thus been surrendered 5 times by 11 a.m. Gilbert writes that Shea then proudly telegraphed his superior, General Allenby, telling him that, quote, "I have the honor to report that I have this day accepted the surrender of Jerusalem," end quote, and in turn received the following message. "General Allenby will himself accept the surrender of Jerusalem on the 11th. Make all arrangements." Thus it was that another surrender was held 2 days later in the eyes of all the denizens of Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the poor mayor had come down with pneumonia, apparently by being forced to surrender Jerusalem out in the cold again and again. He was, as one article puts it, the only casualty of the surrender of Jerusalem. Accounts of this day differ in various details. Was it keys or a letter transferred as a symbol of surrender? How accurate is the story of the cooks? On this, many disagree, but all are in accord on the most salient fact. Jerusalem was surrendered many times in a single day and again soon after. And the photographic remembrance of that moment thereby captures what Jerusalem is. It is a city that has fallen and been subject to surrender and conquest so many times. a city exchanged between empires and empires again and again, more than any other. From Israelites to Babylonians to Persians to Alexander to Ptolemy to the Seleucids to the Romans to Byzantium to Muslims to the Crusaders to the Ottomans to the British. The story of Jerusalem, like the story of December 9th, is the tale of the keys of the city, symbolically or literally, being passed from hand to hand. It is therefore easy to forget that once Jerusalem was seen by many as unconquerable.